Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hello, Dee.
Hello, Tom.
How does my voice sound?
A little gravelly.
Well, considering what I've been through for the last several days, this is not too bad. Except what was going on with me was my eyes.
Right. Can you see?
I told you, after surgery, you look younger. I also told that to the nurses.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one you're flirting around with, huh?
Well, that one nurse that brought me out from the recovery area, she said, I love it. I absolutely love it. Hello, everybody. This is the flirtatious Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
His long patient, long-suffering.
That's for sure.
And this is Catholic Vitamins, vitamin
S
for Sabbath.
Who would we pick to talk about the Sabbath?
There's only one person we could pick. Well, I mean, there's lots we could pick, but there's only one that we would immediately think of and invest our show in, and that is
She's
our
the one that
friend.
Made us feel guilty about the Sabbath.
I know. Her name is Sonia Corbett.
Who used to be a regular on Catholic Vitamins.
She's our scriptural evangelista. She's now an author and a traveler and speaker and a friend of Catholic Vitamins and friend of Deacon Tom and Dee. But I think she's friends with so many people now that her reputation has grown and she's been to visit so many parishes and conferences. So we'll look forward to bringing Sonia up a little bit later. Meanwhile,
we were talking about your eyes. You just had your second cataract surgery done.
I did, just a couple days ago. My left eye is recovering nicely. The bright sun is still a little bit much for me to take, so I put these darkening glasses on. I was outside doing some yard work, and that helped. But I'm surprised at how quickly the healing is going on in my left eye compared to what happened in my right eye. So,
and it's going to be, a couple weeks before you can have a new prescription.
Yeah, at least 3 weeks, yeah, right.
So right now you're using some readers.
Some very inexpensive readers. And I feel like Moses or Methuselah, but that's all right. That's all right. We never said what show this is.
We said the vitamin and the guest.
I know.
But it's, yeah, episode 331.
331, us?
Yes.
They said, almost rightly
it
so.
Would that never it, last.
Yeah. Were they talking about us, or were they talking about the show? At any rate, here we are. We're still doing Catholic Vitamins and still reaching out to people that have a message to share, such as Sonia or the other guests we've had for the last 7-plus years. So we've talked about my eye surgery and...
We'll skip the part about the wife abuse.
What else do we have to prattle about?
Oh, I was going to mention this beautiful fall weather we've been having here in north central Arizona.
It has been just wonderful, absolutely gorgeous.
I just want to be out hiking every day. It's like, this is just the perfect hiking weather.
Speaking of hiking, you told me you're going to go to the 4 o'clock Mass. I'm deaconing at the 4 o'clock Mass, and you said that you were going to go hiking tomorrow.
Sunday morning.
Yeah, leaving me alone, but I've got to do the 9 o'clock Mass anyway, so you're going to go hiking with some lady friends and maybe get in some colors that way.
Oh, I'm hoping. I'm hoping to see some pretty leaf colors up in the woods.
So, that's a little bit about our weather and what's going on in our neighborhood. Any parish news or anything to share about what's going on in our parish? I can't tell because I can't see from here what our notes...
No. Well, other than our ladies group and the people in charge, we're getting ready, gearing up for our annual church bazaar, which is coming up in 2 weekends from now.
Okay. All right. And lots of crafts, lots of early Christmas gifts, potential early Christmas gifts, mm-hmm. And lots of sweets, which is...
Our Catholic radio station is going to have a table exhibiting, right?
Yes, we are. KPIH.
A little promotion there.
Catholic Radio will be giving out some coffee cups, some mugs. The Nail It mugs, you remember the Nail It mugs?
Oh, yes, I drink out of that quite often.
Yeah, so if anybody makes any donation, $5 or greater, we'll give them a free Nail It mug, and it has a nice saying on it about entrusting your troubles or your suffering to the Lord and nailing it to the cross.
I love it.
So if anybody is listening to us and they would like to participate in that, just a $5 or greater donation to our KPIH radio station, you can go to kpihradio.com, kpihradio.com, and if you make that donation there on our website, we'll be glad to send you a mug as well. Dee, that's probably enough for our first episode, our first segment.
Prattle segment.
What do you say we take a break?
Okay.
As I draw near the altar of the Lord, where Jesus Christ is offered and adored, I humbly come to offer all I am and to feast at the banquet of the Lamb. As I draw near, in my heart prepare a throne, a place that I've reserved for you alone. And with my mouth proclaim that I believe, in my heart I am grateful to receive. And I cry, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. I give honor and glory, thanksgiving and praise to the one who forever will
right, we're back. This is segment number two of Catholic Vitamins. I'm still with the lovely Dee, and I say that with both my eyes now strengthened. So I was noticing in church yesterday, I did go in for adoration by myself. We'll talk about that in a second. But I did notice that church just seemed so bright yesterday with all the sun that was out. And I'm just aware of what a difference it makes when the cataracts are removed from your eyes and how much more beautiful and colorful things look.
I can see clearly now.
Yes. Yeah. The cataracts are gone. All right. Speaking of adoration, you covered our normal 10 o'clock.
Right. We usually go together at 10 to 11 in the morning on Fridays.
Friday mornings. But I had a 11:30 doctor's appointment for my first pre-op exam with a local eye doctor. And so I did that. And then afterwards, I stopped and joined in some other folks praying the rosary, the Chapel of Divine Mercy.
I certainly didn't have to worry about whether there was enough coverage when I went in at 10, because there must have been like 8 or 10 people in the church.
What a nice problem to have. A nice problem to have. What else do we have to share a bit about?
You mentioned the Terry and Jesse show promo?
Well, what I was talking about was that I listened to Terry and Jesse as I was out doing some yard work. I have their podcast loaded on my phone. And they have such a great program on our local KPIH Catholic radio station at 11 o'clock. And sometimes I only get bits and pieces of it because I'm driving someplace to a meeting or doing work at the studio. And so I don't get to listen to them. But now I've got their podcast scheduled and I get it directly from their site. And they were doing a program again on spiritual warfare on Ouija boards. and other forms of things that people are involved in that can have potential for great trouble. So I enjoyed that. And then, as I mentioned on the last show that we did, Jesse Romero, we have booked him. We haven't signed the contract, but I'm going to do that this week, sign the contract. And we will soon be having Jesse Romero at our North Central Arizona community. He'll be talking in our parish hall, and I hope that we just get it to standing room only. If any of our listeners who happen to be in Arizona would like to come, let us know, and we'll make sure we'll hold a seat for you.
It's going to be in December.
Yeah.
Speaking of the radio station, we just wanted to throw a plug out there for the fact that we have a Facebook page for the radio station.
We do.
So you can go to facebook.com/KPIH98.9FM. And we'd be so happy if you just go look at it and do a like.
Like us.
Yeah,
on Facebook.
That'll help us.
Yep.
And then we also have a website. Our wonderful friend Candy has set up a website for us, kpihradio.com.
So you'll find lots of things there, an intercessory prayer link that goes to us and our board of directors. We'll pray for your intentions. And you can make donations or leave other remarks for us. So please visit us. We'd enjoy that. Well, that's enough for now. Dee, you and I have struggled with obeying not the commandments, but Sonia.
Yes.
Bless me, Sonia, for I have sinned. We have not always kept the commandment of the Sabbath the way that we should or the way that you encouraged us to. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
Do you think Sonia would approve of my going hiking? If I've gone to the vigil mass, I've fulfilled my Sunday obligation, and I'm doing something that's very relaxing, it's not working.
So your husband, who loves to tease you and make you feel guilty, says, all right, you've covered yourself canonically. You've obeyed canon law by going on Saturday evening at the vigil mass. But, I guess the answer is, of course.
Yeah, sure. I discussed this with our pastor this morning.
Yes, he did, but there was more kibitzing than... All right, that's it for now. We'll be back with our guest, Sonia, in a few moments. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, this is probably my most favorite thing to do, is to talk to dear, good friends, fantastic faith witnesses, and we're joined today again by Sonia Corbett, our scriptural evangelista. Sonia, welcome back to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much. I love being with you on Catholic Vitamins.
Yeah, well... I don't know where I first saw your name, and it led me to go to your website. So I hadn't seen you, had not met you, but I had seen your name, and I went to your website. There was the most remarkable, warm, inviting introduction to your call by the Lord to help people to fall in love with Holy Scripture, and I just loved your invitation And I think pretty soon after that, I made outreach to you, and you came on the show for a first interview. I think we may have done another interview. And then after a while, you joined us as long as you could before your travels and all the things you're involved in sort of beckoned you elsewhere. But it's so good to have you back, and we are so honored to share a little bit of what you're doing these days. So,
well, the honor is all mine. I absolutely love being on Catholic Vitamins. It is. You guys are part of my family. I mean, I hold you very, very dearly close.
Thank you so much, dear. Well, you know, we feel the same about you. I hate to be a name dropper, but of all of the bishops, priests, authors, evangelists, musicians, Sonia Corbett spent time at Dee and Tom's house. Oh, my goodness. Listen, dear listeners, she was here for a couple, 3 days, and we did some things together. We did some sitting and talking and sharing, and it was just wonderful. So why don't you start by doing a little flyover of how you got into the business of being a scriptural evangelista?
Well, as a non-Catholic, I'm a convert of about 10 years now, and as a non-Catholic, we did not have access to any sort of sacrament whatsoever. And so the only way to get in touch with God on a regular basis was in the Bible. And that's why they emphasize the Bible so much as non-Catholics, is because that's their only tether to Him. And so it had been hammered into my head from the time I was a little child. It's, you know, you must know your Bible stories. You must know the scriptures. You must be in the Bible every day in order to hear Him speak. And I mean, that was an arduous, just the thought of having to do that every day was not even something I wanted to contemplate. It just seemed so dreary. So it's such a discipline, you know, that ugly word. But at the same time, I desperately wanted to know Him because I sensed, well, at least through the testimony of other people, I knew that He wanted that relationship with me. And so I was curious enough to at least try it. So I started the discipline, and I just kind of clung to what everybody told me. If you'll show up every day, eventually He will show up. He's there all the time, but He'll let you know He's there. And so I did, and I spent a lot of mornings falling asleep through the whole thing because that was the only time I had was when I got up before work. And so I'd get up at the crack of dawn and fall asleep, you know, before even getting through it. But God did meet me there. He honored my willingness and my determination to just keep at it. And one day He did. He just showed up. I was reading about Moses and how God said, "I am who I am." And I remember reading it, and I kind of just read the words, you know, and didn't think a whole lot about it. And then suddenly it was almost like suddenly the words actually said, "Sonia, I am who I am. And I will be with you." It was almost like He was saying it directly to me using my name, and as though I were actually the person He was speaking to there. And it is what really began everything for me. So because of that, my love for truth eventually led me to the church. And you never lose that. You never lose the thrill of knowing that God is there, that He is speaking to you about your life. He's speaking to you about your toxic relationships and your self-maintaining habits and the patterns in your life and the bad circumstances and the good. You know, He's all the time speaking through all that stuff. And so when I came into the church, I just sort of carried that love with me. And so because I do have that apostolic spirit, I just can't shut up. So I talked my way all the way from the Baptist church into the Catholic church, and I'm still talking. So.
Well, one thing that sort of resonates with my soul and heart of what you just shared is that when you meet someone, a Bible-believing Baptist, an on-fire evangelical, even if you would say, you know, I don't want to go where they are, the fire that they have in their belly is inviting. And when I first encountered Sonia Corbett, the fire that you have sort of spread to me. It's one of the reasons I love doing Catholic Vitamins, is because I get to talk to a lot of people who have this desire to know God more, to
to praise him, to love him more, and to share that with others. So you told us your story about coming into the church, but one of the things that I remember you telling us in the early days was about toxic relationships. Can you pick one and just share about it for a minute?
Sure. My whole education spiritually with the Lord has been on my behavior patterns that have proceeded from what I call a father wound. And I wouldn't say that in the beginning it was a toxic relationship with him. It's not so much now. But it does actually, I discovered, that wound feeds into what drives us to pursue other toxic relationships. So we end up in toxic relationships because we have wounds that have not been healed. And so I have been learning and will learn, I'm sure, till my last dying breath, how to submit to proper authority, and that authority is God himself working in my life. And most of my bad behaviors and sinful patterns and predominant thought and all of that proceeds from that wound. And I have learned and am learning that that's true for all of us. So we do the things, as St. Paul said, I do the things I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things I should do. And that's how we are. We walk around all the time wondering why in the world we're doing things. And ultimately, God is working through those. He's trying to get our attention. He wants to help us heal those places so that we don't act out of them anymore, and they don't drive our behavior in those subconscious ways that they have for so many years, in my case. So that really is, that's what I've been learning, and that's actually that wound brought me into the church, because I was searching for a real authority, and I recognized that it cannot be in a Protestant church, because Protestant churches are built on protest. Mm-hmm. And so there is no unity there, and if there's no unity, then there's no true authority. And so not in the proper biblical way. So that's actually what brought me to the church, too. So all of that sort of was a perfect storm. And that's still where I teach from. That is the area that I teach from, that wound, because I have learned that my weakness is where and how God works through me. So standing in that weakness and allowing him to speak and work has been the way that he has used me. And I think he does that for each of us. He just invites us to a more aware consciousness that he's doing so.
Is it safe to say that Unleashed is sort of your teaching area about this?
Yes. Yes, Unleashed is about becoming and allowing the Holy Spirit to help us be unleashed from all of the behaviors and the perceptions and the wounds and all of the stuff that drives our behaviors, the things that are pain, really. It drives all of our pain. And so what I do is I walk people, for instance, I just got an email yesterday, one of the best emails I've ever gotten from any person, because she said that she had picked up that book and she realized she was reading and she was drawn to a particular verse in it. So she went to her Bible and it was about rejection. She went to her dictionary after she looked up the verse, and because she was drawn to that verse, she went to the dictionary, looked up the word, and she just had this real sense that God wanted to say something to her there. And so she just kept thinking about this rejection, and suddenly it occurred to her that she had experienced a lot of rejection in her life. And she began the email talking about weight gain and how she can't lose weight and how she can't keep it off. When things get chaotic, she gains weight. And when things settle down, she gets control of it. But it's back and forth, back and forth. And now suddenly she's beginning to see that this rejection is driving her weight issue. And she said, now I don't know what to do now. And I was almost bawling. I was so excited. I wanted to scream. Because she just illustrated the whole process and didn't even realize that that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm about. I want to show people where God is already working in their own lives so that they can get control of some of the issues that they feel out of control in, specifically our behaviors.
We have a lot of ground to cover in a short
time. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
No, please. I love this. I'll just say, by way of what I wanted to get into, that I've completed a Lenten meditations book for 2017 for Ave Maria Press, and it'll come out this month. Very, very small, and I just happened to be looking at something at Ave Maria Press, and they described you as a dynamic Catholic author and speaker. And why I wanted to share that, Sonia, is you know, you were with us for a good while. We just really appreciated the work that you did on Catholic Vitamins, but you became so busy. You have another book, if you want to talk about that, and then I know you've been doing teaching and radio. Why don't you share about those two things as well?
Oh, I'm so excited about what's happening right now because, as I said, I have a lot to say. But Unleash sort of seemed to unleash me because once I stepped from that, I wanted to sort of go even deeper with people who are going to embark on that journey with God into those really deep areas of their lives. I think so many times we think, or I did, maybe other people don't, but I always thought if I had a better husband, if I had a better job, if I had a better church, if I had a better pastor, I could be a better Christian. And the whole time God was showing me and trying to lead me into, I am already working. I'm working in all the areas you think that you haven't even invited me. And so he began to show me those areas, those toxic relationships, those difficult circumstances, those overwhelming desires, those self-medicating habits. So when I wrote Unleashed, it was really my own story. I'm sharing how God is unleashing me from that father wound and the behaviors that come out of it. And then directly after that, my new one is called Fearless, because as you begin to do that, you begin to be afraid of what God is showing you and the pain that it involves sometimes, because it involves memories of the past. It involves your relationships now, and oh my gosh, what's going to happen if those change? And it just, lots of stuff comes to the surface. Sometimes we can have anxiety. So Fearless is about being fearless in the face of depression and anxiety and fear due to the things that are happening around us. Maybe it's, we're suffering a lot. Maybe we're afraid of the political landscape. Maybe, you know, whatever's going on and whatever God is doing in us and around us and through us, sometimes that can generate a lot of fear, but God has told us not to fear, and he has told us exactly why. And so if you understand how Satan tempts you and I, each of us has a different entry place. A lot of times it is our woundedness. When we understand how he comes against us, we are much better equipped to resist that temptation. Most of the time, we just fall automatically because we're used to falling and we don't know how to not fall. But once you have it pointed out to you, this is the pattern in your own life. These are the patterns that he uses with everybody else. This is the pattern he uses with Jesus in the desert, all of those things. So Fearless is about spiritual warfare. I've just finished it. It's coming out on November 7th. I'm working also on a primer, a Bible study primer, with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we just finished it, actually. It'll be out summer of next year. It's called Ignite, and it is the most basic Bible study that you've probably ever seen, and we tell it from the story point of view, the whole thing, all of it. So that'll be out in the summer, and I'm constantly working on Bible study series on my radio show on Redbox Media called Bible Study Evangelista. So we finished one up on spiritual gifts. I did one on anger. I'm working right now through the Old Testament because, boy, can that be confusing. So that's what I've been doing on a weekly basis is the radio show. So I'm just trying to get as much information out there into people, as much Bible into people as I can possibly get. So I'm busy.
Sonia, if I'll just use the word if I struggle with honoring those in authority, if I struggle with obesity, if I struggle with addiction to alcohol, just to pick another one, are you saying that Fearless will be a help to the person who's afraid of what it's like to give up alcohol or to give up the friends that are associated with alcohol? Is that?
Absolutely. And in fact, it covers it from both angles. What if I'm afraid to let it go? What if I'm afraid, though, that I can't let it go? Mm. And Fearless shows you that you absolutely can, and that Jesus has already fought that battle for you, and all you really have to do is get and stay in touch with him. He says that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's why we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be slaves to that fear, because he has conquered all of that for us. Fear, at its very basic root, is a deficit of love. And so the tagline of the book is, conquer your demons and love with abandon. Because once you love with abandon, you cannot be conquered by a demon anymore. You just can't. It's a process, and it's a lifelong process. But little bitty victories begin to show you and begin to convince you of the bigger ones. I'm living proof.
Yeah. I don't know if you'll get time or availability to come back on the show when the book is released, but at the very least, we'll try to get a recorded promo for the book from you, and we'll be happy to promote it on Catholic Vitamins. A bit ago, you said something real fast, and it sounded like you said Red Fox Media. Did I misunderstand?
Bread Box. Bread as in our daily bread.
Okay.
Bread Box. All one word. Yeah, Bread Box Media.
I could tease you about how I could tease you about how fast you speak.
It's that Southern thing, you know.
So, how's the second book doing?
Well, you mean Fearless, or the Ignite book?
The Ignite book.
We're finished. We just finished it, and we've turned it in. It hasn't actually even gone to editing yet, so we're just at that stage. But we're both very, very excited about it, because it's not something that we've ever seen on the market before. This approach to hermeneutics, which is the big church word, but how to understand the Bible. This approach to understanding the Bible is so personal. It's just so very personal that it automatically pulls people into not just the understanding, but the acclimation and sort of getting into touch directly with God himself through all that we're sharing. So we offer the nuts and bolts of how to get into the scriptures, how to study them with both the head and the heart. We offer our own journeys. We offer our own tools. We offer our own scripture habits. And then we connect it all with the typical stuff that you need to know when you're studying the Bible, that it's separated into genres, that it's got a certain number of books, that it's separated also in the covenants, you know, that kind of thing. But it's all told from a story point of view.
You're going to have to put a good word in with your deacon co-author to come on Catholic Vitamins sometime.
I certainly will. Yes, sir. He is the dynamic deacon. Now, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, one other area before we let you go. I don't want to suggest that there's many years of difference between us, but given that there's a few hours of difference between our ages, I was raised at a time when you knew the Ten Commandments, and one of them was to honor the Sabbath. And the way that you did that was what the church said. You went to Mass on the Sabbath, Sunday, a little later on Saturday
right.
night or Sunday. Well, of course, we have generations later who believe that, well, I get up in the pine trees, and I take a hike, and I get close to God there. I don't have to go to church. And so we have all sorts of other interpretations of what honoring the Sabbath is. And I know you've been sort of a reminder to Tom and Dee, or a nag, depending upon, about us and the Sabbath. Would you please help say a few words about the importance of honoring the Sabbath?
I most certainly will, because it is the number one thing that each of us can do to revolutionize our spiritual lives. If we keep this discipline, it will change everything for us. We are the reason we are the walking dead, and we're in bondage to so many things, is partly because we don't keep the Sabbath properly. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel, when they started to do their own thing on Sundays, or Saturday then, the Sabbath, when they started to do that, they fell into bondage to one nation after another. and it was because they lost their focus. Sabbath is made for man, Jesus said, not man for the Sabbath. So it's not the keeping, it's not the religious practice that is so important. It is the interruption of our doing. And when we keep the Sabbath properly, the way the Bible prescribes for us to do so, we both worship and we rest. And pastors have to do it differently. Deacons and pastors have to maybe pick another day because they automatically have to work on Sundays. They're offering the Mass, they're doing all kinds of stuff. But we must all keep it because the Bible says if we don't keep the Sabbath with God and observe it because it's His, if we don't, we will surely die. And in the Old Testament, that was literal. They would stone them to death. But in our day and time, we're diseased, we're tired, we're exhausted, we're depressed, we're addicted. We are in bondage to so many things, especially our schedules. We're just slaves to the schedule. And it's because we don't keep this discipline. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I still struggle with it. And the busier I get, the more I struggle with it. But I am careful to guard it because God warned me very sternly before any of this ever came about, you're going to get busy, and it's going to be more important than ever that you guard this day, not only for you and your sanity, but for your family and their sanity. And so we have, if you look at the way the Bible talks about Sabbath, it is a worship and rest. So you haven't worshiped properly on Sunday unless you have rested. And you haven't rested properly on Sunday unless you have worshiped. They are two things that go together that cannot be separated. So you can go out to the woods and commune with God there, but you must also go to church because that's where He is. He wants to draw us into the closest possible relationship with Him. So we got to do it His way. It's not about us. So we got to rest and we got to worship. And if we have neglected either of those two things on every Sunday, then we have neglected part of the Sabbath worship and we will surely die. It's just that it really is that simple. And so I have to be very careful. On Saturdays, I try to plan my week so that I have that whole day free. And if I don't get it all done, it just sits. It's just going to have to sit because I need that day. My body knows I need that day. By 2 o'clock, I can't keep my eyes open no matter where I am. So if I have to be gone, and I am a lot, Monday morning, Monday, I pretty much don't even get up off the couch if I'm traveling. I mean, I stay and I just convalesce because I need it. We all need it. It's a discipline. We think it's some sort of luxury, but it's really a discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a beautiful summary of why we should honor the Sabbath in the church and in an easy chair. And
amen.
I think if I remember correctly, when you were here visiting with us, you went away for a little while on the Sunday, and we didn't take any offense at all. We knew what was going on. Well, dear Sonia, thank you so very much for the gift of this short visit with you. You are always, always welcome on Catholic Vitamins, and let us know if we can do anything to help your ministry or your books.
Well, I am always available to you and your audience. I love Catholic Vitamins, so thank you for having me.
All right, stay on the line after we finish here. Thank you, and blessings. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Yes, sir.
Now to share a reflection for Catholic Vitamins listeners on the Sabbath and on the beauty of the church that we go to on the Sabbath. Many of the prophets that we've heard about have areas of special contribution to our faith walk. Ezekiel is unique because he had an unparalleled interest in the temple. From time to time, he shared parts of Jewish history related to the temple, and I think his message resonates through 2,500 years. Not only did water back then sustain life in the lands of the Jewish people and in the areas surrounding them, such as Egypt, water was
was and is a sign of life, a restoration of fertility, a return to the image of the first paradise. Dryness and arid ground were seen as a curse. And so in Scripture, from Ezekiel, there's the wonderful and superabundant streams flowing from the temple, symbolizing great blessings. Scripture doesn't only speak of the words of the prophet, but of the people of those times. No, God's holy and inspired word continues to speak to us today. What theological ideas can we discern from Scripture? We can consider the water flowing from the church as a symbol of new life, of new birth, just as in baptism, which gives the child an entry point into the new life in Christ. We can see the image of the sacraments as being life-giving, giving all who partake of them worthy promise of great blessings, preparation for a harvest in eternity. Remember the gospel where we've heard about the pool of Siloam with the five porticos. There's a man there that was reported to have been ill for 38 years. He's been waiting for someone to help him get into the water. Well, people coming together can be a source of healing for others who need the healing and the faith witness. I couldn't find any expert teaching on the waters being stirred up that were a part of that gospel story. There is a suggestion of an angel who comes from time to time and does this action as a sign for those who have faith that they can enter the choppy waters and be healed. But only the first into the water would receive the healing. There was a long ago suggestion of the Holy Spirit, as in the Spirit being over the waters in the Genesis creation account. While I can't give you a definitive answer to this, a more important consideration is for us to recognize that in this story, the portico story, Jesus is the healing power for the man, not the waters, not a healing brought about by the timely action of another, but Jesus is the answer. And of course, as in other healings done by Jesus, this one in the temple was done on the Sabbath, the day traditionally belonging to God. It is his day. And Jesus uses the Sabbath to demonstrate the power, his power over the Sabbath, and his authority to redefine the laws of the Sabbath. Finally, one other thought came to me to share with you. You have likely heard that we Catholics are grafted onto the Jewish faith, and this is true in so many ways, from our use of the Old Testament to many liturgical practices to some of our feast days. There's a great similarity to the Jewish importance of the temple and the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was among his people. We have no less a situation as we maintain and honor our sanctuary in our churches. So I'm always in my heart trying to pray that people will enter the church more passionately, more devoutly, with great zeal. And some might say that they've never seen their priest be passionate. And I think that's missing the point completely. We gather as a family of God not to be observers, but to celebrate together and to worship God. And it's in the very act of worship that we can hear him speak to us in the hymns that we sing, in the scriptures and homilies that we hear, and especially in the Eucharist that we receive. So I believe that Sabbath is worth all the reverence we can bring to it. It's important that we try to enter each Sunday anew, like a new resurrection. And the resurrection of Christ is what we celebrate each Sunday. These are a few thoughts that I have, a little bit scattered as they are, but thoughts to share with you about the Sabbath.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
So, Dee, I'd like to share with our listeners that we have been featuring some Brian Flynn music on the show, and I'm going to make outreach to Brian to see if we can get him back as a return guest. I really like his music, and
I do too.
I like his message that he has within his songs. So, we have our final segment of Catholic Vitamins, and we have some things to do. I wanted to share with our listeners, if it happens that you have not seen Father John Lankett's homily, now the spelling of his name is L-A-N-K-E-I-T. He's the rector of the cathedral in downtown Phoenix.
St. Simon and Jude, right?
Yep, thank you. That's not our diocese and certainly not our cathedral, but he did an October 2nd, I believe it was, homily on pro-life that was probably one of the best homilies I've ever heard, the most inspiring, the most challenging. And it has gone viral. Quite a few people, listeners to Catholic Vitamins and friends in the community, parishioners, have sent me links wondering if I had seen it, and I have, and I've shared it with others. I'll put a link to that in our face page for this weekend's show. But if you just Google Father Lankett, L-A-N-K-E-I-T, Sunday homily, you should be able to find it. It's his October 2nd homily. It's very powerful. Dee, what else do we have to do?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I think our pastor is listening to our podcast now once in a while.
I don't know. Maybe once in a while.
So if he is listening, Father Lucero, I want to thank you for your pro-life message that you've done the last two weekends.
Amen. 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 Dee, did you want to do our hot off the presses?
Hot off the presses, the two books that we are currently giving away. First one is Answering the Questions of Jesus by Father Andrew Apostoli. And the second one is Crossing the Goal by
Danny Abramowitz. Dear friends, if you listened last week, you'll know why I'm pronouncing his last name. Yeah.
Subtitle, As Satan Goes Marching On.
And this is a updated version of his book. I think you'll enjoy it. And all you have to do is, if you'd like either of those books, send an email
to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com and just say, Jesus or Crossing the Goal.
Jesus questions,
sure.
All right. Well, we have our Married for Life segment that we've been doing ever since Adam and Eve. And this topic this weekend in Married for Life is Never Get Too Old to Hold Hands. It starts with a tiny flat.
You want me to read it?
Yes, please. All right, go.
It starts with a tiny fist wrapped around a mother's finger. It continues with a young hand held gently in one much larger. It endures through puppy love, adolescent relationships and courtship, and if we are wise, it extends into marriage through middle age, beyond the golden years, to the very end of life. I love that.
I do too.
Holding hands is one of the most intimate expressions of love between two human beings. Don't ever let this beautiful act slip away from you.
Tom and Dee still hold hands wherever we go, and it's a form of
I guess just reinforcing that I love her the way that I did when I first met her and first fell in love with Dee. And she hasn't slapped my hand away once in quite a few years that I remember. So,
this meditation on holding hands, or this little write up on holding hands, is hold your spouse's hand throughout your life together. Don't ever let it go until the day when you've fulfilled every marriage vow and finally release it from your grasp, placing it lovingly, trustingly into the hand of God.
There you go.
Well, dear, hey, did you happen to notice?
No, I didn't.
The couple that this was sort of dedicated to, Arnold and Hazel, were from Iola, Kansas.
My heavens. We know Kansas and we know Iola.
We just lived two towns south of there.
We did.
Yes. Two different times, didn't we?
We did. All right. Well, that's Tom and Dee in our Married for Life segment. You know, we need the reinforcement in our marriages, spiritual, the grace aspect of God's love in our marriage. And we also need physical touch. And as I talked about last show, I touch Dee every time that I pass by that I can. I touch her on the shoulder or touch her on the back and just let her know that, what, were you going to say anymore? You said not to talk about certain places.
Gosh.
All right, well, this is a Catholic show, so we won't do any more. So
before we leave, should we do Vita Scrabble?
Let's do Vita Scrabble.
Next time, our vitamin will be T. Ends in S. 12 letters.
Wow, a long one. So that's Catholic vitamin T. If you know the word, it ends in S. You said 12 letters.
12 letters long. So if you'd like to take a guess, see if you might guess correctly, just send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Once again, this is the Deacon and the D. We are so appreciative of your time invested in Catholic Vitamins. We do this far from being the biggest podcast, far from being the most popular. We do this because we like to share faith from A to Z. And the 7.25 years now, something like that?
Yes.
And we're still sharing faith. So it works from A to Z, and T is our next one. We look forward to that. And we have some good plans for the future.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
Something I want you to know, the love of a father will always remain, no matter where you go. There isn't a thing you could do to prevent me from loving you. Squander my money, my jewels, and my land, still I'd provide for you. I stare out and look to the east, awaiting the glory feast that I will prepare on the day you return, the day that my sorrow will cease. I've waited day after day, hoping you'd come home to stay, wondering if you're already on your way. To my knees and pray, please come home to the house of your father. scared and full of fright. Perhaps you think what you've done makes you unworthy to be my son. Just remember the